John's third letter. You might want to turn to 3 John towards the end of the New Testament. John was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was a member of the chosen people. He was privileged to be alive when the Son of God came into this world. He met Messiah Yeshua, responded to Messiah, followed Messiah, and became one of Yeshua's most important disciples. He became an apostle, one of the very special group of men who became the leaders of Messiah's community. John wielded the greatest spiritual authority. And in the future, he was promised that he would sit on one of 12 thrones, ruling the 12 tribes of a renewed Israel. What a very special man John was and is. In addition, John wrote two of the greatest books that have ever been written, books which have been a blessing to billions of people, the book of John and the book of Revelation. In addition, he wrote three divinely inspired letters that have been preserved for us. This third letter was written by the elder, whom tradition says was John. It was written toward the end of the first century, around 95 AD. At that time, John would have been an old man. This letter was one of the very last things written that became part of the New Testament. John wrote this letter to encourage his friend Gaius to continue supporting the traveling evangelists and traveling teachers, including the ones sent by John. Gaius was not to follow the wicked example of Diotrephes, the leader of the community of which Gaius was a part. Diotrephes was forbidding the members of the community from supporting the traveling evangelists and teachers. The key ideas of this letter: love and truth. Being in the truth, being faithful to the truth, walking in the truth, living in the truth, having the truth speak well about you. Those are the main concepts, the main ideas of this letter: love and truth. So let's turn to John's third letter. It begins, "The Elder." John began by identifying himself as the elder. An elder refers to a man who is a leader of a community of Messiah's followers. Being an elder means having the age, the wisdom, the dignity to lead a congregation. We have four elders here at Shema. While John was an elder, identifying himself as an elder and no more than that was a humble way to identify himself. For example, he could have written, "John, one of the Son of God's closest disciples, the only one who did not abandon him in his greatest time of need, the one he entrusted his mother to, an apostle who has great spiritual authority, one who will sit on one of the 12 thrones with my fellow apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel." John could have identified himself in any or all of those ways, but he didn't. By referring to himself simply as the elder, he asserted his authority while not exalting himself or calling unnecessary attention to himself. Contrast the humble way John referred to himself to some men and women today who are so eager to call themselves apostles, prophets. We can learn a lesson in humility from the way John identified himself, that we should not exalt ourselves or unnecessarily call attention to ourselves. After identifying himself, he identified the one to whom he wrote, "To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth." John knew this man, Gaius. He considered Gaius to be a dear friend. He knew that Gaius was in the truth. Gaius believed the truth. The truth being the gospel, the good news, the message that Yeshua is the Son of God, the risen Lord and Messiah, and the Savior of the world. Gaius lived according to the truth. Truth is wonderful, delightful, liberating, helpful, beneficial, wholesome. Truth is so lovable. And because the truth is lovable, those who are in the truth love others who are in the truth. Someone may be a complete stranger to you. Then you find out that he knows the truth. He believes the gospel like you do. He follows the one who is the truth. You know that there is a deep connection between you and him. And you love him because you love those who are in the truth. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Next, John prayed for Gaius in this letter. He prayed one of my very favorite kinds of prayers, short and sweet. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Great little prayer. We need short and sweet prayers. We need to pray short and sweet prayers like John did for our fellow believers. We need to be doing more of that. When the Lord brings a fellow believer to your mind, you pray for him, even if it's a short, sweet little prayer. When the Lord brings a fellow believer to your mind, if he is doing well, you thank God for him. You pray that the Lord blesses him in some way. When it comes to your attention that a fellow believer is going through a difficult time, a difficult situation, you pray a short, sweet little prayer for that person. When you're talking to someone and that person tells you about a difficult situation that he is going through and asks you to pray for him, you stop and pray for him right then and right there, a short little prayer. John was so confident that Gaius' soul was getting along well that he prayed that he would enjoy good health and that everything else would go well with him even as his soul was getting along well. Let's think about that. Gaius' soul was getting along so well that John felt confident to pray that all the other aspects of his life would do as well as his soul was doing. That means that Gaius had a healthy, wholesome soul. May our souls be as wholesome and healthy. Yes? Now, the prosperity teachers misuse this verse. Twist this verse. They teach that if people just have enough faith, God promises them good health and prosperity. And if they aren't experiencing good health and prosperity, they don't have enough faith. Look, it's right to pray for those we love and whose souls are doing well, that they would enjoy good health and all would go well with them. But when we pray that way, we must also understand that God may not answer our prayers the way we want him to. He may allow those we pray for to experience poor health, bad health, various kinds of hardships and trials and difficulties. Those two are part of God's will for us because various kinds of trials help our souls to get along well. After he identified himself and the one to whom he wrote, and after he prayed for Gaius, John began the body of his letter. It gave me great joy when some believers, literally brothers, came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it, walk in the truth, live in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Some of the brothers who knew Gaius went from where Gaius was to where John was. They reported to the elder that Gaius was faithful to the truth. He was living in a way that was entirely consistent with the truth. He was believing the right things. He was doing the right things. What a great thing, being faithful to the truth. I want to be faithful to the truth. How about you? May all of us be faithful to the truth. Yes? Gaius was one of John's spiritual children. That means that Gaius came to the Lord through John's ministry, or that Gaius received spiritually formative instruction through John's ministry. Just as a father rejoices when his child is doing well, John had great joy knowing that Gaius, his spiritual son, was doing well, walking, living in the truth. Like John, it gives me joy when I know that you are living according to the truth. And it grieves me when I find out that you are not living according to the truth. Now we come to the main issue of this letter, a very serious problem in the community of which Gaius was a part. But first, praise for Gaius and a request that he continue helping the traveling evangelists and teachers sent by John. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. Now, that's the traveling evangelists and teachers. They have told the church about your love. At this time, the message about the Messiah was rapidly expanding among the peoples of the Roman Empire and beyond. Evangelists and teachers traveled from place to place, proclaiming the good news and teaching the believers. It was expected that Christians and Messianic Jews would provide hospitality and support to these travelers who were serving the Lord, that believers would invite them into their homes and provide them with food and shelter while they were ministering in their area. Gaius was doing that, even for traveling evangelists and teachers he did not previously know. His hospitality was a practical demonstration of his love for God, his love for God's people, his love for the truth, his love for the gospel, his love for the lost. Some of these traveling evangelists and teachers were sent by John, since they reported back to John about Gaius's love for them, that Gaius had been housing them and feeding them and caring for them. And that was a praiseworthy thing. And when the traveling evangelists and teachers finished their ministry in the area, it was hoped that the believers in that area would give them money and provisions so they could continue their ministry elsewhere. The elder asked Gaius to do just that. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name Hashem, the name. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. John referred to God here as the name, Hashem. I love that. Referring to God as Hashem is a very Jewish way to refer to God. Hashem means the name. There are many names among angels and people. However, the Lord has the name that is above all names. He is Hashem, the name. When we call God Hashem, we are also acknowledging him as the most important person who has the greatest authority. That's what is involved in the concept of name. The person who has authority. Why should Gaius give the traveling evangelists and teachers money and provisions for the next part of their journey? John gave three reasons. First, because it was for the sake of Hashem that they went out. By going out and traveling and proclaiming the gospel, and by teaching, they were serving Hashem's interests. It was for his sake. They were advancing his goal of world evangelism and establishing Messiah's community. To support people who are serving Hashem's interests serves Hashem. And we want to serve Hashem. Yes? Everything we do, we want to do for his sake. Second, the traveling evangelists and teachers could not expect to be supported by the pagans. The pagans didn't believe their message and couldn't be expected to support them. And it looks bad to ask non-believers for money. They think, if your message is true, why isn't your God providing the money for you? Why aren't your fellow believers providing money for you? No, it is the responsibility of believers to provide the finances for evangelists and teachers. Third, Gaius should support the traveling evangelists and teachers because when we do that, we work together for the truth. We become co-workers with those who are working for the truth in evangelism and teaching. And we want to become co-workers who are working to advance the truth. Yes? And if we are co-workers with those who are working to advance the truth, like them, we will receive a reward. Consider this. Most of us are not called to go out, to leave our homes and families to proclaim the gospel or teach people in unreached or underreached areas. But we can support those who are doing those things and work together with them for the truth. And we can receive a reward. How cool is that? Now, in stark contrast to Gaius, who provided hospitality for the Lord's servants, who loved them, was Diotrephes, one of the leaders of the community, perhaps the head elder. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers, literally other brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes was an elder in the community of which Gaius was a part. Seems like he was the head elder. One would think that Diotrephes, as the elder of one of Messiah's communities, would be most in favor of supporting the traveling evangelists and traveling teachers. But he wasn't. John had already written to the community requesting their hospitality so that he and his team could come and minister there. Think about that. What a great honor, what an amazing privilege and blessing it would be to have one of the greatest men who ever lived, John, an apostle who knew the Son of God, who lived and traveled with Yeshua and witnessed everything Yeshua did and said, there with you, teaching you. What an amazing thing that would be. Diotrephes not only refused the elder's request for hospitality for him and his team, he undermined John by spreading malicious nonsense about him and his team. And those who disagreed and welcomed traveling evangelists and teachers, Diotrephes put out of the community. This is very bad. Why was Diotrephes acting like this? Why was he doing these bad things? John knew. Diotrephes wanted to be first. He wanted everyone to look to him and to no one else. He did not want to share honor. He did not want to share authority. Diotrephes was proud. He was selfish. He was being foolish. He was sinning. We do not want to be anything like Diotrephes. In this letter to Gaius, which has become part of the New Testament, which has been read over the centuries by millions, perhaps billions of people, John mentions Diotrephes by name. This teaches us that when a leader does something wrong that affects the community, or when a leader sins in a public way, it's appropriate to call him out by name. The general principle: public sins are dealt with in public. Private sins are dealt with in private. And leaders are held to a higher standard, a higher level of accountability. Diotrephes' proud attitude and malicious actions did not deter John. He was determined to visit this community anyway. And when there, let everyone know that Diotrephes was sinning. Some people expect the church to be perfect. Some people expect the leaders of Messiah's community to be perfect. Messiah's community is not now and wasn't perfect in the first century when the church was at its very best, nor were its leaders perfect. Only the Lord of the church is perfect. Diotrephes was sinning. John did not want Gaius to imitate him. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. God is good. If we have really seen God, if we really know God, we will do what is good. We will believe the right things. We will do the right things. If we are doing evil, it means we really do not know God. We really have not seen God. How about you? Are you doing good or engaging in evil? John wanted Gaius to continue supporting the traveling evangelists and teachers. He did not want Gaius to do what was evil by imitating Diotrephes. In contrast to Diotrephes was Demetrius. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Perhaps Demetrius was one of those traveling evangelists or teachers. Perhaps he was the one that carried this letter from John to Gaius. John wanted Demetrius to be given hospitality and support. He gave Gaius three reasons why. First, all the believers who knew Demetrius spoke well of him. Everyone who knew this man had good things to say about him. Second, the truth spoke well of him. Demetrius lived in accordance with the truth. He was recommended by the truth. The truth gave him a resounding recommendation. Third, John and his team spoke well about him. When a great man of God like John spoke well about someone, that someone was worthy of support and hospitality. I want all of us to be like Demetrius, that our lives are lived according to the truth, that everyone speaks well of us, even great spiritual leaders like John. Yes? And I want us to be discerning so that we only are supporting good people and good ministries, and not those who are unworthy of our support. John wanted to communicate much more to Gaius, but he knew that talking in person would be easier. And since John hoped to see Gaius soon, he ended this letter this way: "I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face." Just as John began this letter with a short prayer, he ended it with a very short, very Jewish prayer. "Peace to you." He asked God to bless Gaius with peace, with wholeness and completeness and well-being. Good little prayer using, in Hebrew, just a couple words: "Peace to you." He also let Gaius know that those with John sent their greetings to Gaius. The friends here send their greetings. And I'm sure the greeting of the friends there encouraged Gaius. Messiah's followers are called a number of things in the New Testament: Christians, followers of the way, children of God, believers, brothers and sisters, saints or holy ones, elect or chosen ones, disciples. Each name or title tells us something about who we are. John referred to his fellow believers here as friends. It's nice to have friends. Friends share common interests. Friends are close to each other. Friends help each other. In one sense, all of the believers in Messiah's community are friends of each other. Never think that you have no friends. You do have friends, good friends. The friends here send their greetings. And John asked Gaius to greet the friends there by name. John wanted Gaius to let each member of the community there know that John and his associates were thinking about each one of them and cared about each one of them, that they were not alone, that there were other godly leaders who cared about them. And I am sure that that must have encouraged them, especially when they were in a community led by someone like Diotrephes. John was so thoughtful and caring and considerate and personal and wise and loving and full of truth. Lord, help us to be more and more like your great servant, John. Amen. And thus ends another entire